All right, so last week we started a series of three sermons on the outworking of our faith. There's a lot of commandments in the New Testament. Most of them have to do with our character and those sorts of things, the do's and don'ts. But if you look deeply, you'll find that God left us here after we're saved that we might serve Him, that we might work. And so we're looking at a three-part series. Last week we looked at being a doer of the work there in James chapter 1, that we are here to serve God. Amen? We're here to work. We talked about the work of the ministry in Ephesians 4:12. We talked about the work of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 15:58. And so our first part is that we should serve God. But today, the second part is we are here to serve one another. God gave us these gifts and talents that we might serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. Next week, we'll see how we are to be serving the lost. But today we're in John 13. Jesus Christ is about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and then about to go to Calvary for us. He has this Last Supper with his disciples, but he sets aside a time to wash the feet of his disciples. Now, can you imagine all that was on Christ's mind at that time? As a human, he's about to face suffering like no one's ever faced. He's about to be nailed to a cross. He's about to be humiliated. But he instead sets aside this special time here in John 13 at the beginning of their time together in the upper room to wash their feet, to teach us a lesson. Amen? So let's look at it together. John 13, beginning in verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down, he said unto them, Know ye what I've done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So our title today is Wash One Another's Feet. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord, and how we thank you for the opportunity to gather together in the name of our Savior around the Word of God today. We pray the Holy Spirit would take the Word and speak to our hearts, each one personally, powerfully, and do a work in our lives that's lasting. May you guide us in your truth. May you be glorified in this time in your Word. We give you this service and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It says there in verse 1, he knew that his hour was come. He knew what was about to happen. In the next day or two, Jesus Christ is going to suffer as much as anyone's ever suffered. He's going to be punched. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be blasphemed. A crown of thorns is going to be slammed on his head. He's going to be stabbed. He's going to be nailed to a cross and mocked on the cross. His beard is going to be ripped out by the roots. And we could go on and on. He knew what was coming. So was it a convenient time to stop and wash the feet of his disciples, knowing what's just around the corner? Of course not. And that's the first thing that we see here, is Jesus served his disciples even though it wasn't convenient. And as you know, our lives get quite busy, don't they? And oftentimes we want to serve others, but we're busy. We've got things going on. We've got things we want to do. We've got all these goals and plans. We're busy. I would say Jesus was pretty busy, wouldn't you? He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. He's about to die for the sins of the whole world. But he stopped and washed the feet of his disciples, even though it wasn't convenient. Let's not forget that. That it's not always convenient to serve others, but we still need to do it. The second thing we see there in verse 1, it says he loved them unto the end. What a beautiful statement. That his service to his disciples was not based on the disciples, it was based on who he was and his love. You've heard this many times, love is action. Jesus here is demonstrating his love through service. He's about to demonstrate his love by dying for us at Calvary. But first he stopped and said, let me show you how to love one another. Serve one another in humility. And he demonstrated it for us himself, personally. He didn't assign someone else to do it. He did it himself. You know, the Apostle Paul had this same attitude. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15... Paul understood that when God called him to be a church planter, to be a missionary, Paul understood that his life was not anymore his own. His life was about others. And he lived his life that way. And he said to the Corinthians here in 2 Corinthians 12, 13, or 15, sorry, he said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Spend and be spent. In other words, I will very gladly expend all of my energy, all of myself for you. That was the attitude that Paul had as he set out to serve Christ after he was called. Also, Galatians 5:13, if you want to turn there quickly. God reminds us of the liberty that we have in Christ, that we've been rescued from the bondage of the law. But he says here, for brethren, Galatians 5:13, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The old man is very selfish, isn't he? It's all about me. It's all about making me happy, pleasing me, 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 me. We did a series on that in family camp a couple years ago. Selfishness, self-centeredness, and so forth. What does this say? Yeah, you have liberty, but don't use it to please you. Don't use it as an occasion of the flesh. Use it to what? Serve one another. Be thankful for the liberty, and now use your time, use your energy, use your gifts and talents to serve others. And that is the example that Christ was setting here in the upper room with his disciples. It wasn't convenient, and it wasn't based on them or even anything else except based on his love. And so back to our passage, we read that he, in verse 4, he girded himself. By doing that, he basically took upon him the form of a servant, as we read in Philippians chapter 2. And it says there in verse 5, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Could there be any more beautiful display of servanthood than to humble yourself to that point that you're washing the dirt off of someone else's feet? And I hope you all understand, it's not about the washing of the feet, is it? God is not. There are some churches, obscure churches here and there, that actually practice feet washing. And if they, that's great. I'm not going to argue with it, but that isn't the point, is it? The point is being willing to humble ourselves and serve one another. because this is the ultimate act of humble service. It's to say, remember, they all wore sandals back then. So your feet got quite dirty walking around in this dust. And Jesus washed their feet. And the third thing that we see, not only did he do it when it wasn't convenient, not only was it based on his love, but Jesus' behavior here was independent of the behavior of others. What do I mean by that? I want you to stop and think. We just read how at this very moment is when Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who's about to betray Christ for some silver. Jesus washed Judas's feet, knowing what he was about to do. So his service to the disciples, he didn't stop and say, well, you're not worthy, you're not worthy, you're not worthy. No, it wasn't based on them. It was based on him. And we need to understand that. Yes, we're to serve one another, but we need to be very careful that we don't practice respect of persons when we do. The Bible says we're not to have respect of persons. But sometimes we're like, oh, I serve my best friends all the time. I serve my family. Yeah, that's not what it's talking about, is it? We need to serve all of our brothers and sisters whenever God gives us opportunity, even if we don't like them. You think Jesus was thrilled about Judas about to betray him for 30 pieces of silver? Still washed his feet. You think he was excited about washing Peter's feet or said, don't wash my feet, Lord? And who also is going to deny him when he's in one of his trials? He's even going to swear when he denies him and says, I know not the man. Washed his feet too. And so his service to these disciples was independent of them and their behavior. Remember this. It was an inconvenient time. He did it anyway. He did it to demonstrate his love, and he did it independent of who they were in their behavior. Otherwise, he would have said, you know what? I'm just going to do everybody except Peter and Judas. Because Peter's about to deny me. Judas is about to betray me. But he didn't do that, did he? Have not respect of persons when it comes to serving one another. He knew what was coming. He knew they were going to forsake him. Actually, I didn't mention this, but they're all about to forsake him, aren't they? And go hide in some house somewhere and cower and not know what to do. And as Jesus is hanging on the cross, the women are there. Where are the disciples? Hiding. But he washed their feet anyway. Then he taught them a lesson about the dirt and about Judas and so forth, which isn't really the point. But he says in verse 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, and he is, hallelujah, he is our Lord, he is our Master. If I've washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. The day that God saved us, he assigned us a mission. A lot of missions, actually. We're to be witnesses. We're to be soldiers for Jesus Christ. We're to be stewards of all that he's entrusted to us, but we're also to be servants. Look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 27. Jesus said this over and over again in his ministry, that if you're one of his followers, you're here to serve. Notice Matthew chapter 20, verse 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your, what? Servant. Even though he may be chief, even though he may be the boss, even though he may be the pastor, whatever, let him be your servant. Now look at Matthew 23:11. This is a theme throughout the New Testament, that when it comes to the outworking of our faith, we are here to serve God and we're here to serve others. Matthew 23:11. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Galatians chapter 6, turn over there if you would, verse 2. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. This is love, right? Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." What did he mean? How can other people see? Do we walk around with a banner saying, "I love Christians"? So, no, that's not what he meant, is it? He meant that people, the world, would be able to see our love for one another by us serving one another. Galatians 6:2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." That's love. That's service. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. I just want you to see it's all throughout the New Testament that we are here to serve one another. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love." Huh. Love must be action, huh? "Which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." You've already ministered to the saints. And by the way, it's continual. You do minister. You keep on ministering. It's a labor of love. Amen? And then 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Look what he says when it comes to loving one another through our service. "Hereby perceive we the love of God." In other words, we can see it. God showed us his love. How? Because he laid down his life for us. The ultimate act of love in the universe, amen, is that our Creator gave his life for us. Then what's he say? "And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Look at Calvary. Look at that sacrificial love and do the same. Verse 17. "Whoso hath this world's good, seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." In other words, it's not what we say, it's what we do. That's how we love one another, by serving one another. Back to our passage, Jesus in John 13, verse 15. He sums it up with this one statement. John 13, 15. "I have given you," what? "An example." So we don't even have to wonder, why did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? What was that all about? Now he tells us, "I've given you an example. I did this to be an example, to teach you something, that you should do as I have done to you. Follow my example for the next 2,000 years at least, and wash one another's feet. Humbly serve one another." You know, the Bible says, if you look, go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, that if you had to sum up our service here on earth, it's easy. Just follow Christ's example. Amen? 1 John 2, 6. "He that saith he abideth in him," that's people claiming to be Christians, "ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Walk as he walked. Follow his example. He says, "Here's my example. I'm going to gird myself with a towel, and I'm going to wash the dirt off your feet, gentlemen, just before you all flee and hide, just before Judas betrays me, just before Peter denies me, I'm going to get down on my knees with a towel and wash your feet. Why am I doing it? To be an example." Verse 16, "The servant's not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." They're not levels with God, in other words. We're all just sinners saved by grace, amen? And we're all accepted in the Beloved. We're all children of God if we're born again. But verse 17, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." That's a lot like last week's passage in James chapter 1, right? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. He says, if you know these truths, happy are ye if you do them. You know, when you think about some of Jesus' commandments, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Here's some commandments. Be kind. Be gentle. Be merciful. Be long-suffering. Be forbearing. Be hospitable. Show empathy. Edify one another. Comfort one another. These are commands. And they have to do with serving our brothers and sisters in Christ. By this, Jesus said, John 13:35, shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Galatians 5:13, by love, serve one another. That is the true outworking of our faith. It's one thing to say we love one another. It's another thing to love one another through service. By helping them, comforting them, maybe washing their feet. It's up to you. But serving one another. Jesus said, let me give you guys an example. I'm about to give you some great sermons. Amen. Chapter 14. Where would we be with after chapter 14? In my Father's house are many mansions. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you love me, keep my command. Chapter 15. If you abide in me, without me you can do nothing. Then we get to chapter 16, the Holy Ghost. Chapter 17, his prayer for his disciples and for us. He's about to teach some amazing truths in those next chapters. But the first thing he did after they gathered in that upper room was to get a towel, get a basin of water, get down on his knees, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, and wash dirt off the men that were about to betray him, deny him, and flee, and not stand by him. Isn't that beautiful? We are here to serve. We're here to serve God, and we're here to serve one another. And as Jesus said, I want you to wash one another's feet. He said that, didn't he? Those very words, verse 14. Ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Follow my example. Serve one another. And the Holy Spirit, by the way, will reveal those opportunities, but you got to do it. That's why we're here. We were left behind to serve. We're servants. So let's do it. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious and beautiful word. Thank you for Jesus and the amazing example that he was. Lord, how blessed are we to be your children, your disciples. And I pray, Lord, that we would get serious about following our Savior's example and be willing to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ as you've commanded us to use the talents, the time, the gifts that you've given us to be a servant and a blessing to others. We know you'll bless us in return, Lord, but may our motive be love. Outpouring of our love, the outworking of our faith. So please, do a work.